time to talk basketball. John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast with him. Hello there, John.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Pretty well, thanks. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm great.
Good, good. What an exciting game last night for the Celtics. An overtime win over Charlotte and one of those games where, well, the big guys did what big guys are supposed to do.
That's why you pay Tatum and Brown the big bucks, right? They combined for 71 points. I think they played off each other a little bit better than they have in the past. And, you know, especially Tatum was really good. And he had an MVP-level game, I thought. The stuff that he did, not just setting up his teammates, but doing, like, little things, boxing out, playing, you know, getting back on defense. I mean, you can say, oh, yeah, well, he's supposed to do that. But the way he did it was top-notch. And the whole thing started with Tatum. Brown, coming off of the sore knee, was excellent. And he had, of course, that poster dunk, which got everybody going. So fun times all around.
You wrote a wonderful piece on Marcus Smart. And it was, well, it was very much a Marcus Smart game for those who love him. It showed why, and for those that he drives crazy, there was a little of that.
This did nothing to change anybody's mind, that's for sure. He's polarizing. He's basically like the Celtics version of today's politics. It's just you're one side or the other, and it's kind of like strongly one side or the other. But I get it. He didn't shoot well. He, you know, 1 for 9 from three, but the one that he hit was a huge one. That got the game down to 5 in the closing minutes. And then he makes a few great defensive plays. He does a lot of the little things that you don't see. It's hard to get people to change their mind about Smart, because when you see the game, like I saw all of the reasons why Marcus Smart is so important. But plenty of people saw all of the reasons why he can be infuriating. And some of the shots that he took are certainly not shots that you want him to take, especially like early on in the game. He said before the game that he is dealing with a migraine and dealing with being kind of sick, and he managed to play in the game. But to come out and within, you know, a few minutes jack up a quick three, that fuels the other side's fire. So typical Marcus Smart game. But what that means simply is at the very end, after everything, he's in the middle of the good things that happen.
Yeah, and the place he's not polarizing is right there with the team, because they all believe in it.
Yeah, you know, after the game, you know, Jaylen Brown takes a second, like a left turn out of an answer, and be like, hey, by the way, Marcus Smart was awesome tonight. And that's the most important thing, right? Doesn't matter what fans think about Marcus Smart. Doesn't matter what I think about Marcus Smart. What matters is, do the teammates love him, or do they not love him? And they love him. That's it. I mean, the Smart will have a dust up every once in a while, and maybe go at it with a teammate. And I very easily chalk those things up to emotions and the desire to go out there and win a basketball game. To a man, I think the Celtics go out there and they believe in what Smart brings, and it's because he's, no matter what kind of game he has had, he doesn't let that affect the next play. That's really, if you're looking to inspire what your team is out there trying to do, it's that Smart can go out there and be 1 of 9. And it doesn't mean that he's sulking through a defensive possession. It doesn't mean that he's just kind of like, oh, I give up on this game. He still plays through that stuff and makes big plays on the defensive end. That should be something that everybody can learn on that team. No matter what, how poorly you might be shooting, you can still make that next play and be seen as somebody important to a win.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. I have a little preference. I do like me some New Balance shoes. Where can I get some like Jaylen Brown?
You know, Jaylen is out there. He's a sneaker free agent. And so I'm sure the people at New Balance will very gladly point you to their website, where some of those sneakers are available. Look, New Balance is getting a little niche in the NBA. Mm. I was skeptical at first. They got Kawhi Leonard, and I didn't like Kawhi Leonard's shoes at all. But Jaylen's out there. He was with Adidas, and he's been kind of spotted out there. He's worn Nikes. He's worn Under Armour. He's worn New Balance. He's just kind of out there. I think that's the new thing in the NBA, where these guys, once they become sneaker free agents, they go out there and they go through a bunch of different brands to kind of see what they like and kind of show the brands like, hey, by the way, look how good I look in your sneakers. Like, all of the pictures of Jaylen Brown dunking on Miles Bridges are now in those cool green New Balance sneakers. And I'm sure the people at New Balance are like, oh, we can get used to this.
Absolutely. Now, would you rather be New Balance or be Nike wondering what to do with those new Kyrie Irving 8s?
I think Nike can probably withstand that, but they're not happy about it. Look, New Balance, local company. Why not go with the up and coming local company? I'm a huge sneaker guy, and I've always been a huge Nike guy. Like, whenever I played, I wore Nikes. I'm very curious to see how New Balance changes this game. And this, you know, we're joking around a little bit, but look, you never know. Like, once upon a time, Converse was the big dominant player in the NBA. Nike kind of came in and they caught the right endorsement at the right time with Michael Jordan, and it took off. And now Nike's facing some backlash, and there's room for another company to come in, and you just get the right people, and you never know. We could be in for a shift in the sneaker wars.
Well, and we like them up here because the University of Maine is a New Balance school, so we appreciate their support. Let's get a progress report. We're a weekend, four games under their belt. Where is this team? What's going well? What needs work?
This team, where are they? The short answer is we don't know, because it's too soon. Too many guys have been out. Horford's missed games. Jalen's missed games. Too many guys have missed preseason. We really don't know. And the information that we got in the preseason doesn't match some of the regular season stuff. But I can tell you that I'm curious to see exactly where Josh Richardson and Juancho Hernan Gomez fit. These are two guys that came in as potential reclamation projects. And Richardson got a quick extension. So I wonder exactly where those guys fit, because Richardson hasn't looked good and Hernan Gomez has barely played. I'm confused about Aaron Nesmith, who had looked great, and then this regular season just has not been up to par.
Right.
Something changed at the beginning of the regular season, and I'll be honest, I don't know what it is. But I think that we've seen the Celtics move forward. They're picking up their pace. They're moving the ball. Tatum is passing the ball a little bit more. Smart is passing the ball more. Jalen's passing the ball more. We're seeing them try to execute what Udoka is trying to do. They do need to shore up their defense, and that will probably come as rotations settle a little bit. I would like to see some consistency in the rotations, but because of the preseason, which was short, only four games and so many guys missing, the experimentation is going to continue for the next few weeks at the very least. So hopefully the Celtics can continue to make progress in those problem areas and just generate better looks and get out into transition.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. We'll catch you again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then.